It lack about 6 to 7 minutes. With the time you get ready, the time you go in and get what you got to get, it'll be eating time.
That's true. You let me know if you have to, you know.
What's that?
You let me know if you have to go eat.
I'll eat anytime.
Good.
Now I want to show you about these trees. When dog days come in, people will do that. And you know what's up best? I want to show you about them whenever you're working them, just like if you're working them for a living. It's like you're working a tree for a living. It's certain ways in certain months that you work those trees to save your gum. I think I started telling you that. Let's go in the shade here.
Yeah.
I started telling you that before, and something happened. We come up, and I didn't finish telling you. Now you see the, you see what kind of a peak that tree got on it there? Shallow there.
Yeah. This is called a shallow peak.
That's a shallow peak, and it's rolling. See that gum rolling? It ain't dripping off. It's rolling off that face.
Rolling off the face.
Now, that's what you do whenever the wind is blowing, like it was blowing the other day. Every time when it's hot weather and that tree go to drip that gum from down here, that wind will blow it. You could see it on the ground and on the grass. It wouldn't none hit the cup. Every bit of it will blow it out as long as that wind blowing. But when the wind ain't blowing, it'll blow it off the face. If it's dripping, if you got a dripping peak. And as I want to say, in dog days, when you're working them, like this month, you go heavy in here.
Heavy on the edge?
On the shoulders.
On the shoulders.
You go heavy in there.
Uh-huh.
And you come out shallow to the peak. That's in order. Just like this is a kind of a bad month for it being windy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go heavy on there, that gum will come out. I'm talking about a lot of gum will come out that shoulder there in dog days.
And just roll down.
That's right, and roll on down on that face. Drip on down there. And it'll be making scrape. Now see this in here?
Uh-huh.
That's going to make scrape.
It's just kind of stopping on the face
of
the tree. Yeah,
and being a young tree. But that'll make sure. But these trees won't make as much scrape as the one up here on the corner yonder, what's called a white hill pine.
These are yellow pines.
These are yellow slash pines.
Ah.
But there's a white hill pine up here. We have three or four of them up here.
Huh.
Hill pine. And anytime you see a pine tree with them great big burrs on it, that's a white hill pine. All slash pines have small burrs like a black pine, but the color of the bark, what you see on that ground.
Oh, yellow.
Yeah, it'd be the color of that. Now, see this old big tree here? This, see these little old burrs? Look at it. See these little bitty burrs come up with that thing?
Little cones.
Little curls.
Yeah.
That's right, little cones. They come from.
Whoops.
They come from that black pine.
Uh huh.
Little big black pine, see this? Now these, here's a black pine.
Uh-huh.
Now, this thing here ain't got no burrs in it. Now this come off of a black pine. Yeah.
Little cones.
No, it didn't. This did too, it came out of a black pine. See, these here don't have no burrs on them.
Uh-huh.
Now see what I'm showing you? See this tree here?
Uh-huh.
That's a different tree from this one. Now this is that hill pine I'm telling you about. See, there's no cones on them now, no burrs. They don't have no burrs now. See that tree there?
Yeah.
They got some burrs a little up in the top, yonder. See that, yonder how big a hill it is right up there?
Oh yeah.
Now, it's squabby. It's broad and open out and it's squabby.
Squabby?
Small, you know, it's what I call like a low person.
Oh,
it's tall. It's
like it's just little.
But now you see how flat it started looking. See there?
Oh yeah.
Now you look up here now, right in this little one here, the green one. Yeah. See that little green one up there?
Uh-huh.
Now it'll get the same way, but it'll be pretty good size. But they don't have none on them now. And when they do, when you do find some on there, the squirrels is eating.
Oh.
Just like over yonder. Squirrels up there cutting in there right now.
Really?
So this is a mixed pine. This yonder is a white hill pine. It run gum fast, this tree here. You put that cup on the, see this vein? Look here, you can tell with the vein. See how it come out bumbly, bobbly, bobbly looking here?
Yeah, it comes out.
Kind of comes out. Whops out
from
it.
Yeah, from the tree.
Now, this is a vein. See how it runs right on up yonder to the limb?
All the branches are off this side.
That's right. Now you go put a cup on this thing and tip there. Oh, Lord, that thing would peek out the gum.
Really?
It would run some gum. Now, see, look at that slash pine right there. That one there now, it's taller than this one.
Uh-huh.
And it ain't as old as this one. And then it may be older than this one, but I doubt it. But this, now, yonder's a great big one over here on the, by those benches, yonder. That's a hill pine. Yonder's another hill pine right there that they've been working. See the big burrs in the top?
Uh-huh.
And see this here, got this face on it? Look how low it is over there by the light pole.
Oh,
see
yeah.
that old face on that tree?
Right.
Now that's the same type pine this is.
Huh.
That's all three or four of these pines is the same type. And this one. Here's another.
Are there the hill pine, the white hill pine and the yellow slash pine, are those the only two kinds you can work? Or?
That's right.
Those are the only two.
That one and this, you hunt them. Just hunt these kinds. And there's one over there in the bushes right there.
Mm-hmm.
You just hunt these kinds. These are the type. That's the one with the yellow clint around here.
Uh-huh.
There's another nice one over there. And all of these around here on this side is the favorite tree. These are the favorite trees. Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I want to put that on the hill.
There's
a big nice one over in the middle.
Is there a difference between the gum between the two trees, or are they about the same?
That one there, the gum out of it is white.
Instead of yellow.
It's white and lumpy. That is, it be a big white ball. And when it run down in the cup, it in general does do kind of like fudge candy. You know how fudge candy
would
be? It'll do just like that in the bottom of the cup. And after a while, if some more come, it'll run on top of that and it'll spread on out. But that lump will still be up there. It'll spread on out. Spread on out like that until it get cool, get good and full, and it'll hold water under there. And whenever that water is under there, you take your dip iron, and you see how I held the dip iron over the mouth of the cup?
Mm-hmm.
You pour your water off there, and when you shoot the side of your dip iron in it, to dip it,
the water is coming out.
Yeah, then you have to let the rest of it come out. But now if you find one that's really packed full, and it ain't been raining, it won't have no water, and then it'll come all the way up to the top like that. Now they don't run as long as these here trees.
They don't.
No, they won't run gum as long as these.
You mean in terms of years?
No, like,
I'm
talking about just like when I chip it.
Uh-huh.
When I chip it, just like I chip it today, that tree will run out in a day and a night. This tree here will run 3 and 4 days. They'll drip toss 3 and 4 days, then they won't do it.
But you get...
They'll do what they're going to do right then and stop.
Just do it real
that's
fast.
That's right, but these here don't do that. These here, they'll drip a long time. See on this side of that vein, where that y'all limb, see there? Little this buck here?
Uh-huh.
Look like it's one side, I call it wop sided. I was showing you over there, this vein on this side.
Right.
You can tell it.
Yeah. All you have to do is look at it. Now this is a double one.
What's that?
This is a double one.
Yeah, I wanted to put these up in here, but they stopped me before I could get them up.
Huh.
I was intending, that's why I done had the board. I had him cutting all these bushes, all these branches from around, all of them.
Yeah.
And I was coming in here and I'm going to put a cup on this one and a cup on that one.
Oh, these two twins. That's a good tree.
It is. Put the cup on this side right along in here where you can extract this here vein. So if you want to put another cup, put another up here on this side and work this side too. And you do this here the same way. Every side, the vein's on it's got a hump on it. You'll notice that?
It sure does.
See, it looks like a swole out on that side.
So
that's where the tar at.
That's
Sweet as Talia.
So when you, what do you do next now? You're going to just save the gum and keep dipping it until, are they going to,
He's intend to, I guess someone's going to get him some little vials. He's going to
put them in little vials.
Put them in the little vials, and he's going to put it, was talking about making a house out there, but I wouldn't if I was them. I'd take it and put it somewhere else. Those kids or something, along. Go out there and get to mess around playing and going on and bust them or something like that. You know how children's ill. They's into everything they can get into.
And they're talking about maybe trying to get a still and stilling it down?
No.
No? Too hard to find?
It costs too much money.
Really?
Yeah. One of them still. One of them stills, my Lord. The thing will hold from 10 and 12 to 15 barrels of scrape, and it'll hold 8 and 9 barrels of raw gum. And it's, you know how large it is. Mm-hmm. And it's made out of copper. The whole thing is made out of copper. And then just think about this, the basement that it's on. You got to build that basement, and the thing is bigger around the furnace. You got to even have a big furnace with your fire. You got to fire it. You see, it uses wood. Mm-hmm. And you put 4 foot wood up under there. And the thing will be bigger around is from there, right on around there, and come on right on back here. Of course, that's still warm, my Lord. That's still warm. It's way out here like that, round, something round that way, and got a big cap that goes on the top. It's got a collar that sets up on top of that worm that high, and that worm slips down over it. And when you slip down over it, you got to daub it with clay all the way around. Just kind of like you do a whiskey still. You daub it with, daub it with clay, and it's got a pipe. Uh-huh. It's got a big old copper pipe that runs out there, and it's got two barrels. And each one of those barrels has a rod in one, three-quarter ways of the barrel. And the spirits are come up in that barrel, and you have water in it. And you got it, have it fixed to where you can run water in it when you need it. And that low wine will stay to the bottom, and the spirits will be on the top. And that spirits will drop off on a string all the time, drop off the mouth of it on a string down in this, in that barrel. And you have your barrel laying down there, your spirits barrel laying down there. And you know what I mean, the one that you catch your spirits in? And whenever you get through stealing it, you probably might get two barrels of spirits out of that one charge.
Really?
About two barrels, a barrel and a half probably.
And how much would you sell a barrel of spirits for?
Oh, my Lord. Ooh. I don't know. A barrel of spirits, my God. The time everybody gets some of it, the doctors, and everybody get some of that spirits, you'd be done went up in the hundreds. Way on up in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Cause a little, just think about how much a little vial of spirits would cost you in the drugstore. And that gives you an idea about what it would bring you, you know what I mean, if you was retailing it. And you don't have no trouble selling it. And they used to ship all of the stuff across the water over there. And you know what they'd make out of it? You see some of these good eyeglasses and all that glass in yonder in that snack bar there, what you be looking through, made out of that rosin.
Well,
plates and all that stuff be made out of that, out of the stuff.
When it's distilled, some of it is spirits of turpentine, and then the other is rosin.
Or? That's right. You get three things from it. You get some rosin from it. You get rosin, batten, and spirit.
What's batten?
Batten is it has rosin in it, but it's that trash and stuff that bees caught. Mm-hmm. Like you hear me telling you about the strainers that they have, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, each one of the strainers, after you leave the first and the second one, the third and the fourth one has cotton in it, padded. Got cotton padded in the bottom of it, all up on the side, so it hit that. Ain't no trash goes over in that rosin. Okay. No trash at all. And whenever they get through with it, this is clear as a crystal.
Hmm.
That's right. And when they dip it up and put it in them baths, they put it in old rough baths, you know, there's baths that you make them yourself.
Uh-huh.
But you see, they buy the staves and they mix the baths themselves. But the other baths where the spirits go in, they order them. They comes already ordered, you know.
What are they made out of?
Oak.
And they have to be watertight.
No, they tighten them up. They have a driver and a driver iron and a hammer. And he tightens them valves up and he glues them. But he don't glue them until they tighten them. He tighten all every rim on it, he tighten it. And if he figured it's gonna come slack, he got a little nail he drives around there, and it's got a head on it just like a Tompkin nail. And that nail hugs that rim. And it holds in there where it won't slip back or forward. I don't care how they handle it. It won't slip back or forward. Sometimes the rim will come off of them, you know, and that'll cause them to spring a leak. And then you lost your stuff. Of course, we have had to go and unload sometime a whole carload just to get the one barrel to be leaking. And when it starts leaking, you know, it's dangerous. Anybody walk by there with a cigarette or either a match, man, it's just like gas.
Yeah.
That stuff is just like gas.
And so on the job, they probably had a rule that you shouldn't smoke.
Oh, no, no. They've been not. They've been not mm-hmm. be smoking down there around that. No, they didn't know I'm smoking around there under that steel. No goodness. It had a sign up there, no smoking. You better not go under there smoking. That steel, if he caught you under there smoking, man, that man, one of them things, good Lord. One of them things was to catch a fire. It would burn the country, whole country up.
Did you ever know when to catch
yes,
fire?
Yes, Lord. I have seen them burning.
Ooh.
I've seen them got too hot.
Oh, the fire underneath
would get... I've seen them got too hot and didn't have enough water turned in on them, on it, you know? And that thing had exploded like a bomb. And when whenever it did, man, you could see that fire for miles and miles. Oh, it had burned there, man. That thing had burned all that rosin and stuff be up on... And that raw tar like that, you know, man, that tar, you'd be surprised to know how fast that tar right there would have had in that bucket of burn. That thing of burn is like gas. Yeah. Just like gas. And you can't put it out. The more water you put on it, you get bigger. You couldn't put, I ain't never see them save now. Not now, now, same time still. I ain't never see them save one. I seen her daddy done caught a fire once. Yeah, it caught a fire once. And it burnt the whole thing down. And they had to rebuild it. Had to rebuild everything.
Wow.
But you know, they have it heavily insured, you know. And when they, I don't guess it cost them too much. It cost the insurance people. But the thing exploded itself. You hear it when it goes boom! When they do that, big roll of fire jumps out of that mop, that worm. And there's all this here rosin in that thing. Yeah, great. Everybody be running off under there.
Really dangerous.
It is. They get out the way and let it burn. But you got to, now everybody can't run one of them steels. Uh-uh. No, anybody run one of them steels.
Do you have to have a special license to run it, or just?
No, you just got to really know what you're doing to run one of them things. Because if you don't, the first time you start messing with it and you don't know, you're set to fire. You got to know just exactly how to fight. You don't just jump up and just put all kinds of wood up under in that furnace, you know, first starting off. You start it off slow. And he know how long it's supposed to go before you add more, you know, real fire to it. And that's why you hear him holler to this young deckhand down there, more fire, more wood, he'll holler, more wood. He'll walk up there. You see him often walking up the stair steps, going up there. It's like you're in a boat. You see him often going to the you look at the temperature about that steel.
Do they have a gauge on
sure,
the top?
Sure, that's right. It has a gauge on there. And yeah, that gauge works right, too. And you can see that thing go easing on up. Easing on up just like a heat temperature out here. And whenever that thing get up to, I forgot now how much temperature they turn on one of them steels, but when it get up there, he tell him, cut your fire. He go out there and you see him. You often see where they done throwed out a lot of wood out, you know, that's been burning. That's they had too much in there. Pour water on it. Sometimes have to pour water up in there and break it down. It'd be burning so fast. scope the fires with old black pine wood, or either a tree the lightning done struck, or a dead tree in the woods. They cut all the dead trees down and make steel wood out of it. And a lot of that wood, the peoples would get it and burn it, you know, because just like if all the men working, they didn't have time to get no wood, they go down there to the still and get all the wood they want. If they didn't, the wagon would bring it around and throw it over in the yard, in the wood pile. Didn't
That's
have
nice.
To buy no wood. Yeah, if you're out of wood, you ain't gonna do it. Just let the man know. And so he have the wagon, the teamster, he have, you know, sometimes they have 3 and 4 wagons, and they have one sometimes don't do nothing but haul wood. According to how large his quarters is, he don't do nothing but haul wood, feed the horses, and water the horses.
One man would do that, just
one
haul
man,
wood.
Just haul that wood and look at it like that.
But you could get your own wood from the still man then
if you didn't want to go in the woods and get some you worked too late or something where you didn't had, you know, where you couldn't get no wood, you go to the still and get all the wood you want. But he charged you for that wood.
Oh.
That I'm talking about, he had to pay
the
guy to cut it. But now that what you go down there and get, well, just like if you get 3 pins, he charge you 10 cents a pin or something like that. And the man will carry you 3 pins. 3 pins of wood, oh God, that's a pile of wood. You know, them big old pins is up high like that.
Is that the same as a cord?
Cord, that's right. That's what it is. A pin, we call it pins, you know. Yeah. Because they didn't know how many pieces it take to make a pin.
They just knew, he'd only charge you 10 cents a pin?
10 cents a pin back long then.
That's a lot of wood.
That is a lot of wood. But now, see, he had to pay the guy to cut it. And if you went out and got it, you know, went and get it up yourself. I ain't talking about this pin wood. If you go in the woods with a wagon, the wagon ain't cost you nothing but to catch the mule and hitch him up. You catch him, hitch him up, get your wagon and go on in the woods and get your wood. Come on back and put the wagon up. Probably I might want some. If I want some, we both will go together. I'll get half of the load, you get the other half. And if not that, if nobody didn't want none, I went by myself and get me a load of wood. Come on in and take the wagon out. He didn't prohibit you from getting wood. You get wood anytime you want it. Anytime. And in the wintertime, we'd go and haul up a lot of wood, because you see, we'd be in the woods working, and you come home. You know, the days are short in the fall of the year, and when we'd come home, it'd be just about dark. And you couldn't see how to get no wood. And we would haul wood on the weekend.
Did most of the people around this area, did a lot of them work in turpentine, like different kinds of things with the turpentine?
Well, back long in then.
When would this be? What years?
Well, they cut turpentine out, I'll say, in 52 or 53.
52 and 53, that's when it stopped?
It did really stop, because the big Puckwood mills bought these turpentine people's rights out, you know. They leased all of the timber out to these big companies like Rim there and Southern Woods, and all of them just bought the lease, you know, just leased the timber for so many years. And they just like if they was working the boxes, just like we started them there, they would let somebody that was already working for this man before they bought him out, he did let him go and finish working him on up until the last year was out. And then when the last year was out, then that was it. And then everybody was on the camp had to find him somewhere, something else to do or somewhere to go.
So you'd have to keep moving.
That's right. The man wouldn't put nobody out, and he charged nobody no rent. I'm talking about the man the places belonged to. Uh-huh. And if they couldn't wake Puckwood, and a lot of them couldn't, didn't know how, and wouldn't do it. If they couldn't wake Puckwood, they would find them something else to do. But if they wake Puckwood, to stay right there on the job and wake Puckwood for that company. Because the company would always...
Was that chopping down trees? And
sawing them down with them chainsaws and mm-hmm. loading it up with the hand, you know, on these Puckwood trucks.
Is that what you would do? Would you?
Well, I already know about the Puckwood business. And When I quit working at Heaven Time, I went back into Polkwood. And I stayed in the Polkwood. I stayed in the Polkwood after that. About 10 years or 12. And I quit the Polkwood then, and I went to driving a delivery truck. And I drove a delivery truck 6 years. And when I came up here, I hadn't been too long. Well, I just got off a truck, long-distance truck, when I come here. I was sick of it, and I got off it, and I come here.
What year was that?
As in, I came here in 66. It was in 66.
About 11 years ago.
But they claim it wasn't in 66 or 67. But it was in 66 when I come here. I know when I come here because they had a 65 Ford station wagon. It was brand new. And that old truck down there was new.
That old really?
Winch truck, it was new. And this young car had 2,200. The station wagon had 2,200 miles on it because I drove it back and forth and it was in the festival. Yeah, they were fixing to have the festival. And me and Miss Gussie and Allen hauled sandwiches over in town. In White Spring, and they rented these people's freezers, you know, to put them in there until they didn't have enough room here. And we, oh God, we hauled a lot of sandwiches. Oh, that's all we did, just haul stuff back and forth, me and her and Alan. Had so much Alan couldn't have just a little bit of room to sit on the tailgate. Now, I mean, it was full from the front to the back. And that station wagon is big as that one there.
Oh, wow. Huh?
And me and her, him, went over there, and we need to live some of the two or three houses over there. So the festival was, and after the festival, we had to go there and get them, bring them back, and put them in the booths down there. Oh, we used to use tents here for huts instead of them little huts they had built down there.
Those little cheekies?
That's right. We had tents. We'd put up tents down there for from the to have the crafts and all that stuff under there. And man, that, you know, you're talking about something. Now, that was something, putting up them old big heavy tents.
Oh, yeah.
My God, some of them tents would be big around it from here to that tree on the run on folks in here. Then we'd have some smoke. We had, I forgot how many big tents. The whole thing was nothing but tents, 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 tents. And they did away with the tents. And I don't know what they done with them, but they did away with them.
Well, why do you think the turpentine business, why did it stop?
Well, I'm going to say it like this, and you know this is the truth, what I'm fixing to say. In the way of speaking, them people had plenty of money, and they was grafting at more money. And these people offered them so many $1,000 an acre for the lease on their timber for 55 and 60 and 66 years and all that kind of stuff. And they was paying them that. And this man had 66,000 acres down there where I was. And he leased it every bit to Ren there. Every bit of it.
To where?
Ren there.
Is that
a big Polkwood company in Jacksonville. And he leased all that to them. And when he leased it to them, in a few days, the Polkwood brand new trucks was sitting there ready for somebody to use them. He tried to get me to take some and contract them, and I told him, well, I had been doing that, and I didn't want no more of it, see, because I got a kind of a little shabby deal on it, and I'd rather wait for somebody to hate it than to be trying to operate it myself, and I didn't do it. I went on and took one of his trucks and would haul him a car a day. You know, cousin of mine, we'd haul a car every day, car every day.
Well, do you think the turpentine business will come back?
I'm hoping it will. I'm hoping it will. It'll help a lot of people. If it don't help me, it'll help a whole lot of people that need work. Really. Mm-hmm. Them turpentine people treated those people that they had on the turpentine job just beside as just like if they were their own kids. Now, they did it. They looked out for them, and they didn't have to worry about food and good houses. They did not. They might have had shabby houses, but where I was, there were good houses. Some of the houses couldn't hardly hear the wind blowing in them.
Mm.
They was good houses, honestly, they was. I hear them talking, man, they had raggedy. I don't think that none of them had no raggedy houses. The government wouldn't acquire it. And they had good houses. They had lights in their house. They had didn't have no running water in the house, but they had, just like if it was 8 or 9 houses right in here, they had 1 or 2 big faucets out here. And everybody, and they had benches on them just like that there. They had wash shelters and all that. They had wash houses.
Wash houses?
From the wash, everybody wash. When the women wash, oh, they had plenty of old clothes to wash, and some of them be washing for different white folks and all that kind of stuff. Some of them women be washing all the week. Mm-hmm. I don't mean on them same clothes, different clothes.
Really?
All the week. And that's where they'd make the extra money. Mm-hmm. And on down further, there'd be another one. And on down further, probably back over here, there'd be another one. Sometime, I stayed on a camp where there was 110 houses on it. 110 houses, family houses. Mm-hmm. And they had some huts, little